Paul was an incredible apostle for the kingdom of God. In 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 23 and through 28, I like to call it his resume. But actually what he is doing, he is talking to the church there, and he is giving them credibility of his ministry that they might honor him, because there was honoring of false apostles, and Paul, who was a true apostle, wanted the church to understand, the church there at Corinth, that I am more credible and deserve to receive as much honor as these apostles do. And here's his resume, if I could use that word, as to why Paul felt. I won't read the verses. I'll simply highlight some of the things in Paul's resume that he felt qualified him to be acknowledged and to be honored as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. When compared with other ministers, or more accurately, with other apostles, Paul said he worked harder. He said he had been in prison more often than the other apostles. He had been whipped times without number. He had faced death again and again. 5 times Jewish leaders gave him 39 lashes with the whip. 3 times he was beaten with rods. He was stoned once, and 3 times he was shipwrecked. Once he spent an entire night and day drifting at sea. He traveled long journeys facing dangers from rivers and from robbers. He faced danger from his own people, the Jews, as well as the Gentiles. He faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. He faced danger from men who claimed to be believers but were not. He worked long and hard, enduring many sleepless nights. He had been hungry, thirsty, and often had gone without food. He shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep him warm. And on top of all that, he had the daily burden of the church's needs upon his heart. But not only was Paul willing to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, he was also willing to die for him. Acts chapter 20, verse 22, 3, and 4, he said, I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will await me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city that saying that chains and tribulations await me. Verse 24, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, but that I may finish my race with joy. How did Paul, a man who was just as human as you and I, overcome all the aforementioned obstacles that he met in his life? One statement, he said in verse 24, none of these things move me. I've been stoned. I've been shipwrecked. I've been among false brethren. I've been amongst my own people who tried to take my life. I've been among Gentiles who sought to take my life. I've been amongst robbers. I've been in perilous situations and circumstances throughout my life. And I've done these things, and I embraced these things for my service unto the Lord. But not only that, he said, I'm also willing to die for my life. Having faced all these things, when it was all said and done, when you look at the life of a man who was just as human as you and I, who had trials, who had temptations, who had tribulations, who had things to work through, when it was all summed up, how do you get through it, Paul? Paul said, none of these things move me. He was determined. Webster defines determination as a fixed intention or resolution. It is the settling of question or case, a fixed movement, a tendency toward an object or end. It is a quality that makes you continue trying to do or achieve something that is difficult. It is a positive emotion that involves persevering towards a goal in spite of obstacles. Determination occurs prior to you and I obtaining our goal and serves to motivate behavior that will help achieve one's goal. Determination and challenge are linked together. In other words, unless there is some sort of challenge that is present or foreseen, the need for determination is absent. So obstacles cannot crush me. Every obstacle yields to stern resolve. He who is fixed to a star does not change his mind, said Leonardo da Vinci. Going back to Philippians, the third chapter, in verse 13, Paul said, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press to reach. I press to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us." Paul was fixed on the heavenly prize, so he was willing to press with determination as to not be denied what had been promised. You see, the determined individual understands that there's a goal at the end of my pressing. There's something for which I am reaching. So I will fix my attention. I will be resolute in what I desire, because at the end of it all, I know there is a prize for my effort. One of the greatest basketball players that you and I have heard of in past history, arguably the best, Michael Jordan, said this about obstacles. He said, obstacles don't have to stop you. He said, if you run into a wall, don't turn around and give up. He said, figure out how to climb it, go around it, or work through it. Here is a man that was cut from his high school basketball team, was not even the number one overall draft in the draft selection in the year he was drafted. But yet he said these words, that when you run into a wall, don't quit, don't give up. Instead of giving up, he said, find a way to climb over it, go around it, or if you have to, just flat out go through it. A story of a little boy who was learning how to skate, and his frequent mishaps awakened the pity of a bystander. "Sonny, you're getting all banged up," the bystander said. "Why don't you stop for a while and just watch the other kids skate?" With tears rolling down his cheek, the boy looked up at the gentleman and said these words, "Mister, I didn't get these skates to give up on. I got them to learn how on." You see, the point is clear in the story. He who really wants to do something finds a way. He who doesn't finds an excuse. And this little boy was saying, "Oh, yeah, I can quit, but I'm not quitting. I'm just going to get back up and go at it again." I think I read somewhere in the Bible that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And though he falls seven times, he's going to get back up again. One writer in the book of Micah said, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, when I fall and when I sit in darkness." He said, "I shall arise." Okay, I might fall down today, but I got a little bulldog in me. I'm coming back tomorrow. I'm not staying down where I'm at. Tenacity, being determined, is something that God wants his children to be baptized with. If you're going to finish what you started, if you're going to achieve whatever goal you have desired, if you're going to wrap your arms around the prize, you're going to have to realize, I've got to be determined. There's always going to be a wall. There will always be a mountain. There'll always be a river to cross. There'll always be a burning desert to have to go through. There will always be something between you and what you desire to achieve. But determination is the key to finishing and getting a hold of what you believe God has promised for your life. Mark, the second chapter, very familiar passages there about a paralyzed man and who had four friends that wanted to see their friend healed. And these four men each took a corner of that bed, and they brought this man to where Jesus was teaching at. And Jesus was there in the house, and the Bible says there was a crowd around the house where Jesus was teaching at, on the inside of the house. And the crowd was so great that they could not get through what the Bible called the press. They couldn't get through the crowd to get their friend to the place of receiving his miracle. And it would have been easy to quit at that point and say, we can't do this. You know, there's too many people here and we can't get in and Jesus is so busy. But they were determined. They wanted to see their friend receive what he needed from the Lord. And the Bible says that instead of giving up and going home and saying we can't do it, you know what they did? They climbed up on the top of the roof of the house, tore a hole in the roof, let the man down to where Jesus is at, and said, okay, Jesus, we got him to him. Now you do the rest. Now, that's my part. That's Ablea. But my point being, don't quit when you can't get through the crowd. Press on anyhow. Be determined. And God, the Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, the Bible said, faith without works is dead. So what Jesus saw was their action. Can I say a little differently? When Jesus saw their determination, when God, oh, hallelujah. You know, we don't know what you got in your heart. I'm sorry, we can't open up your chest and see what's on the inside of there. But I tell you what we can see. We can see your actions. We can see your motivation. We can see your willingness to not quit. We can see your determination. And when I see your action, I say, I see determination. I see faith. And when those men got up on the top of that house and bust a hole in that roof, they let that man down and Jesus saw their determination. I'd like to ask you a question this morning. How bad do you really want what you say you want? How bad do you want it? Are you willing to tear a hole in the roof? You see, the point being is that it doesn't matter what it takes. I'm going to do what it takes. I'm not going to be stopped because at the end of my determination is my prize. That man at the end of his friend's determination, Jesus spoke to that man and he was healed that very day. He got healed because somebody got determined. He got blessed because somebody got determined. He got a new start in life because somebody got determined. I want to tell you, God is wanting to bless you more than you want to be blessed. God is already determined that he'll bless you if you'll get on the other side of your test. If you will let determination take over and won't quit. If you will go farther than others will go. If you will keep on pushing when others say I've had enough. If you just keep on going on the other side of what you've been determined for is sitting with the goal of what you desire. Paul said, that's why I'm pressing. I tell you why I get up every morning and I keep on pressing. I tell you why I deal with the stuff I deal with, because there's a prize for me at the end of everything I have to deal with. No, I'm not going to tell y'all like everything that happens in my world. I'm not going to tell y'all like the whip on my back. I'm not going to tell y'all like being stoned, being left in the cold in the night. But I can tell you one thing. I see the prize more than I see the challenge that I'm facing. You see, you got to put your eyes on the prize. You got to put your eyes on the goal. There's always going to be a trial. There's always going to be a test. There's always going to be the triple T, test, trials, and tribulations. But you've got to put your eyes on the goal. Fix yourself. Determine nothing's going to turn me from what I believe God has for my life. Turn to somebody and say, I can't quit now. I come too far. How bad do you really want it? Yesterday, Serena Williams won the French Open, and they said she had the flu, had to fight through three sets when it didn't look like she was going to make this thing. But she fought on anyhow. Now, I'm not a tennis player, but this one thing I do know. Most athletes that succeed at what they do have to be at peak condition. And when you got the flu, I can tell you, you're not at peak condition. But you know what? She swung that racket anyhow. And when it didn't look like she was going to make it, she kept on swinging and kept on swinging. And by the time it was over, she was exhausted. She was tired. She let out a few choice words that I can't say here. But you know what? When it was all over, she had the prize. You know what the prize was? Another championship. Matter of fact, I think that was number 24. But it would have been easy easy for her to say, you know what? I don't feel like it today. My body's a little tired. I just can't compete like I would like to compete. I'm not 100% today. But what? Forget that. I got a goal in mind. I got to get number 20 under my belt. And so if it means I swing tired, I swing tired. If it means I got to take some Theraflu, drink a little lemon water with some honey in it, bring it on. But I'm going to give my prize. I'm going to reach my goal. I can't quit now. I come too far. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You might not be in the French Opens this day, but you got to keep on swinging that racket anyhow. When you feel tired and the enemy telling you it's no use to go on, you got to say, wait a minute, Joker. There's a prize at the end of this thing. I'm sorry, I got too much bulldog in me to find any quit. You might whip me today, but I'm coming back tomorrow. And if you whip me that day, I'm coming back the next day. And I'm coming back the next day. I'll wear you out. I'll make you wish you never seen my face. I'll pray till heaven shakes loose and God turns something around in my life. I'm sorry, I can't stop now. I'm determined. How bad do you want it? How bad? Turn around, somebody say, how bad do you want it? Hallelujah. You can't see what's in my heart, but you'll see my actions. You'll see my actions. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. To be determined to continue with your pursuits in life. Pastor Berg just showed us photos and has individuals come up, young people that are determined to continue to pursue their education. There's a goal at the end. I like what Pastor said last Sunday about doctors going to school for 14 years. You know, my God, it's 14 years. Instead of a dream, that seems like a nightmare, 14 years. But when it's all over, the prize is at the end of the sacrifice. Continue. You got a goal to get healthy? Continue to pursue that goal. Be determined. Be determined to continue your weight loss goals. You know, the New Year's resolutions, people make it the beginning of January. People sign up for them gym memberships, man. You can't hardly find a spot on any of the treadmills, elliptical glides, and man, you go to the gym and everybody's there. I mean, folk that you ain't saw all year long. Hey, how you been? They at the gym. New Year's resolution. I'm gonna lose 150 pounds this year. I got it, baby. My wife went to the gym the other day. She said, "I know. I figured out what time to go to the gym." She said, "There ain't nobody up in there in the mornings." You know what? It ain't so much nobody's there. The problem is, it's June now. We 6 months away from resolutions in January. You know, folks, they're still determined. You got to be determined that even though it's springtime, I'm still determined. Summertime, I'm still determined. Fall time, I'm still determined. When the wintertime comes, I'm still going to be smiling and reaching for my goal because I am determined. Are you determined to continue your business and career goals? Determined to pursue your ministry calling? Determined to continue building your marriage in spite of obstacles? Determined to be the best parent that you envision being? Determined to be excellent at whatever you do? All right, nudge somebody and say, wake up here. This is going to be the good part. You don't want to miss this. I'm not going to scream and shout on this one. I'll talk to you on this one. It's a few ouch moments in here, okay? Determined to be excellent at whatever you do. Daniel, the 6th chapter, verse number 3. Daniel chapter 3, verse 3. Excellence can bring promotion to your life. Most people are looking and desiring for promotions, for elevation, for raises and so forth in their place of employment, business, and whatever. It is excellence that brings you that. Verse 3 of chapter 6, Daniel, Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Why was this? Because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to put him over all the realm. When you serve with excellence, somebody notices. Now, I'm using the word serve because there's a connotation with the word serve that we think about for his attitude, spirit, humility. Daniel served with excellence. A young man in our church came to me a couple years ago, wanted to sit down and have a talk. And college educated, really sharp young man, on top of his game at his work. And he wanted to talk about the fact that he was being looked over for promotions in his job place, wasn't getting the incentives that he felt like should have been coming his way because of his skills, his tool set, and really the value that he brought to his company. And the problem was he was in a company that had a culture, what I call the good old buddy system. You know, they promoted the good old buddies, okay? And he got caught up in that, not to his own doing. He's just doing what he's doing unto the Lord with a spirit of excellence. And he came and we sat down and he talked and he wanted, should I move on? Should I this or that? And I said, well, those type of decisions, I really believe an individual needs to make those decisions. You might could lay out different scenarios for them, but they need to choose which option they're going to exercise. Here's why. I learned when folk walk out of my office, I'm going back home over at 411 7 Hampton where I live at, and whatever their decision was not going to affect my life one way or the other. But they got to live with their decision and the choice they made. And so I kind of try to get out of the business of telling people what they need to do and hopefully let them decide what to do, having given enough information. But anyway, I think what you ought to consider is continue just serving with excellence. And here's why. One of a couple of things that happen when you just serve where you are with excellence and you don't feel like you're progressing and you're being promoted and you're not moving up as you feel like you're qualified to. I said one of a couple of things. I said, number one, someone in that company is going to recognize your value and they are going to compensate you or promote you based on the value that you bring to that company. Or God is going to open a door for you that some other company will see your value and will be willing to compensate you based on the value that you bring. So really, you can't lose. And so here's what happened. He decided to stay and continue to operate in excellence. It wasn't long after that, he shared with me that he had been promoted in that company. They gave him his own team to supervise, to manage, made him the overseer of the entire warehouse where he would be overseeing and working simply because he decided to continue to operate in excellence. You see, when others may not notice you, God always notices. God always notices. You think nobody sees? You just keep doing your best. You keep growing. You keep learning. You keep operating in excellence, and God will make a way when it seems like there is no way to be made. What is excellent? It's exceptionally good. It's fine. Dandy. First class. First rate. Turn around to somebody and tell them, you look dandy. That simply means you just look excellent this morning. You just look excellent. Martin Luther King Jr. said it this way. Whatever your life's work, do it well. A man should do his job so well that the living, the dead, and the unborn could do it no better. Now, see, you didn't get that. A man should do his job so well that the living, that's all us in here, the dead, I hope that's not any of you, and the unborn could do it no better. Let me say something about excellence, and I'll shut this down on that part. Whenever you have a change of season in your life, the level of excellence that you have been given at one level may demand change at another level. What may have been really great here may be mediocre over here. You still with me? This is what happened with Joseph. Genesis, the 41st chapter, verses 14 through 16. Joseph understood this principle. It's kind of like the collegiate athlete that was a star at the collegiate level and could run seeming a little faster than everybody else, was a little stronger than everybody else. And then he moves to the professional level, and he finds out that the excellence he had at the collegiate level is somewhat mediocre at the professional level, because everybody is fast at that level. Everybody is stronger at that level. And there's a greater demand at that season to up the game if you're going to play. And so a lot of times people are frustrated when they're moving through seasons in their life, and what they have been able to get away with that was acceptable and that cut the grade at this level don't cut it at the next. And they get frustrated, they get discouraged, and they get disappointed. And the bottom line is that there are some seasons in our lives that demand a greater level of excellence as to what we have been given at another level. Joseph understood this principle. I'm going to show you something. Genesis chapter 41, verse 14. Joseph knew that entering into the season of his life, going into the palace, that he couldn't take the excellence that he had in the dungeon with him. He had to up his game. Okay, I'll read it. You don't believe me. Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once, and he was quickly brought from the prison. What did Joseph do when he came out of the prison and now he was going before Pharaoh? The Bible said after he shaved and changed his clothes, he went in and stood before Pharaoh. Question, why didn't Joseph just go in unshaven? Why didn't he just go in wearing the prison clothes he had? He's Joseph. He's excellent, right? And see, here's the thing. Joseph understood something. I'm going to the palace now. And what the palace demands is different than what I did in the dungeon. Somebody need to hear what I'm about to say. Because some of you are so frustrated about why you're not progressing, why you're not getting ahead, why you're not seemingly making a difference. And the bottom line is, if you're still doing what you did in the dungeon, it ain't good enough at the palace. Okay, I knew that was going to be tough right there. Okay. Because the palace demands something that you wasn't giving at the dungeon. It's a whole new culture. It's a whole new world. You're not at the collegiate level anymore. You're at the pros. Okay. Well, Joseph couldn't take that level of excellence he had. He had to up his game. And there are some seasons in your life that demand more of you than other seasons will. Notice verse 15. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream last night, and no one here can tell me what it means. But I've heard that when you hear about a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph said, it is beyond my power to do this, he replied. But God can tell you what it means and set you at ease. Verse 37, Joseph's suggestions were received by Pharaoh and his officials. Can we find anyone else like this man so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Verse 40, you will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I sitting on my throne would have a rank higher than you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. God promoted Joseph. And if God didn't have confidence in Joseph, he would have never promoted him. Joseph was willing to make the changes. Joseph was willing to do the things necessary to operate at the next level that he was going to or had been promoted to in his life. Joseph was a problem solver. He solved problems for the king of Egypt, and that's why he got promoted. I'm going to ask you another question. What kind of problems are you solving? I don't like what's going on at this business, this job. What kind of problems are you solving? Come on, don't shout me down now. People that solve problems get promoted. Let me tell you what your employer's looking for? Problem solvers. Everybody's got complaints. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got, well, I don't know about this, I don't know about that. But give me somebody say, you know, I think we can just tweak this a little bit over here and that'll be all right. I think if we turn this will go that direction. God, the employers are looking for people that can solve problems for them. Because if you at the top, you the CEO or you the man in charge or the woman in charge, guess what? If you got 20 people under you, probably 19 of them bringing problems. So if you got one that's coming in there with solutions, you know what? I'm going to make you Joseph. You Daniel to me. You're an excellent spirit. Problems are miracles really in disguise. So what problems are you and I solving today? Are we solving problems or are we complaining about them? That's not too hard. Let me ask you a question. Whose life is better because you're brushing shoulders with them? Find a hurt. Heal it. Encourage someone that's discouraged. Breathe hope-filled words into someone that can't see their way out of whatever they're facing. Do kindness to somebody. Send them a get-well card if they've been down. Give them a card of encouragement. Pay for a struggling family's meal. Help lift the burdens off of other shoulders, and burdens will be lifted off of your shoulders. Proverbs 11 and 25 said the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will be refreshed themselves. Excellence can be achieved if we are determined to care more than others think is wise. Risk more than others think is safe. Dream more than others think is practical. Expect more than others think is possible. Excellence will cost you what mediocrity will save you. Excellent people will conquer what average people will complain about. Excellent people pursue solutions. Average people stare at problems. Excellent orchestrates in your mind, translates in your speech, and demonstrates in your life. Others will notice your effort to be excellent more than your acceptance to be mediocre. Excellence sets you apart from others. Continue your walk with God, seeking, pursuing Him, determined to be all you can be and to do it with excellence. Teach us, good Lord, to serve Thee as Thou deservest, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heal the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not ask for any reward, save that of knowing that we have done Thy will. That was Ignatius Loyola. You might be here today and you feel like you're losing your edge and being determined. And I can honestly admit there were times, there have been times in my life as I felt as though I was losing that edge of determination that's able to cut through the obstacles in life. Here's what I learned when I was facing those times when I felt like my determination was somewhat waning. I found out that God is determined also. And when my determination is not clicking at 100%, God's always clicking. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is determined not only to keep you, but to finish what He started in your life. Psalms 138, verses 7 through 8. The writer said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. Right hand here is not a literal right hand coming down out of the heavens, but it's a figure of speech. Figuratively, God's right hand is power, it's authority, it's favor, it's blessing. And the writer said, even though I got trouble all around me, I still see favor. I still see blessing. I still see the authority. I see the hand of God. Anybody walking through any trouble lately? Anybody had a little trial or testing lately? Just look around. You'll see the hand of revival. God's going to revive you. Just look around. You'll see the hand of favor, the hand of power, the hand of blessing. Just go ahead. Look around. You see that hand? It might be the hand of a brother or sister in the Lord. It might be the hand of somebody that God has sent your way to strengthen and help you. And he went on to say, your right hand will save me. Verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. The word perfect here means to finish, to fulfill, to accomplish. Twice it refers to completing, finishing, and the perfecting work that God does in one's life. This Old Testament parallel of the word perfect runs along with Philippians 1 and 6, where it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. In other words, God's going to finish what he started in your life. He's going to finish it. If you and I will be determined, God is also determined to work with us. One of the greatest stories in the Bible that illustrates this to me is the book of Job, and I'm closing with this. Because you might be the little boy who keeps falling on the skates, but just keep getting back up. Just keep getting back up. You might be the little bulldog. You got whipped today, but I'm coming back tomorrow. You just keep on coming back, okay? Or you might have been a young man in our church that felt like he was getting looked over, but he kept on serving in excellence, and God took care of it. When you read in the 42nd chapter of Job, verse 12, the Bible says, so the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life even more than in the beginning. There are three things that are noteworthy when you go through the course of Job's life and what took place. Number one, the devil was determined to destroy Job. Number two, Job was determined to continue to bless the Lord and to sin not with his lips. And number three, God was determined to bless Job on the other side of his trial. Here's what you and I need to see. The devil was determined to destroy him. Job was determined to stay fast. God was determined to bless him. The Bible says that God blessed Job in the second half of his life more than he had been blessed at the beginning of his life. When I read that, you know what that tells me? God already had the blessing set up for Job on the other side of the trial. Does that make you want to get a little more determined? That you know on the other side of this storm, there's a blessing waiting on me. And let's just say the blessing is twice as much as what you've ever had before. Yeah, sign me up for that one, Jesus. We'll sign up for the blessing. What we don't like to sign up for is the stuff before we get there. But remember what Paul said, that's why I'm pressing. That's why I'm reaching. That's why I'm letting go of some things behind me, because there's something in front of me. And so God, oh, hallelujah. The whole time Job's going through what he's going through, God is thinking, boy, I got stuff set up for you so good, man. It's going to knock your socks off. You just wait till you get on the other side of this. And old Job, he's scraping boils off his body. His wife is saying, curse God and die. He's all confused, frustrated, and he don't know which way to turn. And the devils think he's got him. He's got his foot on Job's back. Go ahead, curse God and die. You're not going to make it through this one. This is it, buddy. You're not getting up from him. But down on the inside of Job, there's a little tenacity that's working. There's a bulldog determination that's working, because he know this, though he slay me, yet I'm going to trust him, because there's something I've learned, something about God, that when things don't look like I want them to look, that is no indication that God is not for me. When things in my life are not like I would like for them to be, it's not an indication that God don't love me anymore. And if God was good yesterday, he'll be good tomorrow.
And so Job understood something. Although the enemy is determined to destroy me, I'm going to be determined to stay fast, because I know on the other side of this, God is already determined to bless me, because God will finish what he started. God's got the power to finish what he started. God's not lacking resources to finish what he started. God's not lacking ability to finish what he started. And God started something good in you years ago, and you've been through some stuff, and you've had to face some stuff, but the whole time you was dealing with it and you didn't feel like you was gonna make it through it, there was a God saying, just on the other side, I got something for you. Just keep on stepping, keep on marching. Oh, hallelujah. Can I preach about 2 minutes right here? I don't need but 2 minutes and I'll finish. Because the enemy comes to make you think it's all over. What he haven't measured, he can't see what's in your heart. What he hasn't been able to see is that on the inside of you, you ain't got no quit in you. There's something about you, you can't give up. Have you ever... I had two uncles that was a little older than me, bigger than me. And I remember, boy, we'll wrestle. And they had me on the ground. They said, give up, give up. Say, uncle. I said, nope, ain't giving up. Come on, give up. You know you can't get up, man. You know, nope, I ain't giving up. They got my arm twisted behind my back, got my face down on the floor. I still ain't giving up, though. Because until you say it's over, it ain't over. If you don't say it's not over, it's not over. If you keep saying, Lord, it's not over, I believe that you're determined. You're going to get me through this. You're going to finish what you started. I might not be feeling like I want to feel. I might have flu-like symptoms, but I'm going to win this thing in Jesus' name. I'm going to pick up the racket, and I'm going to hit the ball one more time, even though I don't feel it, even though I can't see my way. Some of you been in some dark places in your life. Some of you, I feel this thing right now. Some of you been in some tests and some trials, and the enemy has tried to make you think it's over for you. I came here to tell you this morning that if you will stay determined, God's determined to bless you. I just want to ask you, how bad do you want what God say he got for you? Do you want it bad enough that you will walk through the fire? That you want it bad enough that the flood won't overflow you? Do you want it bad enough? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And God is determined to get me through. Don't you count me out. Turn around, somebody said, don't you count me out. Don't you count me out. Don't you count me out. I might be down, but I'm not saying, uncle, I'm getting back up again. I'm getting back up again. Tell somebody, get on back up again. Get on back up again. Get on back up again. Get your prayer life going again. Get your worship going again. Come on, you can do it. God's determined. Oh, hallelujah. You might have some sick days in your life. Okay. I was going to quit. I got one more story. How many of you ever heard of Glenn Cunningham? My Lord, you haven't heard of Glenn Cunningham? You don't know who he is? Good, that gives me permission to tell you. Glenn Cunningham was the first person to break a 4-minute mile. He's an athlete. He set many records through school, high school, and college. Went on to receive doctorate, became a professor, and so forth. Those are the high points of his life. What you don't know about Glenn Cunningham is that at 8 years old, he was in a school fire that severely burned the lower half of his body to the point of paralysis. He was horribly burned and scarred to the point that the doctors told his mother while she waited in the hallway that 8-year-old boy is not going to make it. Remarkably, he heard them talking. He determined right then that I'm going to make it. 8 years old. And you know what? He did. He didn't die. But the doctors also told his mother that if he lived, he'll never be able to walk. 22 months later, with his mother massaging his legs every day, encouraging him, Glenn, you can do this. You can do this, Glenn. And when he wasn't in the bed, he was in a wheelchair. And one day she pushed him out in his wheelchair out into the yard. And you know what that boy did? He flung himself out of the wheelchair and began to crawl across the yard. And he began to take hold of the white picket fence and pull himself along because he had determined that one day I am going to walk. And the Bible, not the Bible, I don't put it in the Bible. Help me, Jesus. And the story goes that after 22 months of his mother massaging those legs and Glenn being determined that I'm going to do this, I'm going to walk. They say his legs were so horribly scarred, he had no chance and no hope of walking. But he didn't believe that. He believed that if God gave them to me and God let me keep them, God going to let me use them one day. And his mother believed along with him. And the day came that he could take little steps. And the day came that he could walk a little better. And then the day came that he started to running. And he didn't stop right there. He went on to run and run and run. And he broke the world record and set world records for the mile distance because somebody was determined that although the conditions say I can't do it, there's something down on the inside of me that says I can and I cannot quit. I got a mama that's saying, boy, you're going to walk. Boy, you're going to walk. And you got a God that's with you that's saying you're going to do it.